Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All
the time. All the time. I want to count it a great privilege to stand before the people of God to share the word. Thank God for the opportunity given to me by our senior pastor, Pastor Michael Obi. I always say it's not a right. It's just the grace of God and opportunity. So we bless the name of the Lord as we learn together this morning from his word. It's nothing new, but God is always near. When you come to his word, he always gives us new things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to read about three passages of the scripture. The first one is Acts chapter 7, 48 to 50. Acts 7, 48 to 50. The second one is 1 Corinthians 3, 16. And then the third one is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Acts 7, 48 to 50. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll be sharing this morning in pursuit of God's glory. In pursuit of God's glory. In our effort to secure and attain the glory of the Lord, we as believers need to be aware of God's requirements and how to keep that, glory, so we do not remain same, unchanged, or unproductive. The priests, Aaron and his sons in the Old Testament, which means you and myself today, in the Old Testament, they were required to keep the fire on the altar in the temple burning 24/7. It must not go out. Let us see, therefore, this morning, two steps in pursuit of the glory of God. Number one, first step, to have the glory of God, what we need to do in order to have the glory of God. We've been hearing of that here from time to time. The glory of God has come down, but to have it, and then we need to be sure we meet the requirement. So we are not just hearing it. I believe we are not just hearing it. God wants us to hear it and understand and then take hold of it. You need to create a habitation for God, the Holy Spirit. There must be a place in your heart, in your life, which is the temple of God, as an inhabitation for God to dwell in. So what are the things that we need to carefully examine from time to time so that we possess this glory? It's not just something we are talking about, but it's something that we have. It's something that we enjoy or we experience. That takes us to the book of Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. If you have seen it, you can read Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4.
who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully.
Thank you, my sister. It's a question. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? One word is not, it's not a plain level. It's not a valley. It's something higher. It's something above us. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? A question. Then he gave what it should be. The answer. He was one, clean hands, and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Number one, clean hands. Clean hands. Clean hands. We work with our hands. We do things with our hands. We write with our hands. We do a lot of things with our hands. Now in the Old Testament, even in the scripture, especially when we look into Isaiah 59 verse 3, God told the children of Israel, when you lift up your hands unto me, I will not look at you. I will not hear your cry. I will not receive your prayers, because your hands are filled with blood. One word, you have a contaminated hands. Therefore, no prayers. Therefore, no lifting of hands. Therefore, there is nothing that you bring in my presence that will be accepted. Because God is holy. And he wants us to be holy. So, let us see, talking about clean hands. I stumbled upon the scripture. I'm sure that's not the first time I've read it, but it came alive to me this morning. Job chapter 17. Job chapter 17. We're talking about clean hands. We're talking about pure hands, holy hands. Verse 8 says, upright men are astonished at these, and the innocent tears himself up against the hypocrites. Take note of verse 9. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger. And what? Stronger. He who has clean hands will be what? Stronger and stronger. He said the righteous will hold to his way. One word, the righteous will stand upon his conviction, upon his faith in the Lord. We stand upon the fact that God is holy and he needs to be holy. And so whoever has clean hands will be bold, will be strong. In fact, stronger and stronger. You grow from one strength of, you know, one level of strength to another level of strength, because you are standing in the holy place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Holy hands. See so many things that is happening today. You know, havoc. People have roughed with their hands. You know, sort of wickedness, sort of evil. Children of God must not be part of it. We should not just abstain ourselves from it. We must not approve those who are doing it. We must not. I would like to read that verse 9 in LLT, New Living Translation. It gives me a clearer understanding. It says, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. The righteous keep moving forward. They are not static. So, clean hands. God expects us. If you're going to have the glory of God, you must have clean hands. Number two, pure heart. Pure heart. David said in Psalm 51 verse 10, say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. The word renew means it once had it, but something happened. Something happened. So he's asking God, renew a steadfast spirit, a right spirit within me. Whatever went wrong that made me went the way I went, or the way I had, you know, I acted, Lord, I come before you. We know that story. This was a prayer of confession after he fell into adultery and he killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And he cried to the Lord, God, this man, this heart, this life is evil. This heart needs to be dealt with. This heart needs a change. So create in me, my heart, a clean heart. Not only that, renew a steadfast spirit within me. May that be our cry every time. That is talking, we're talking about pure heart, talking about holy and sincere motives. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Is it so that men will clap for us? Or so that, you know, people will see us? No. Well, we best, you know, we'll be in better position to answer that, you know, before God. But we need to check ourselves. Sometimes our motives are not right. Sometimes the reason why we are doing it is not because of the fear of God. Sometimes it's just the flesh coming in, or it's just want to impress somebody, or just want to be a part of those that people are clapping for. Right? So we need to cry. I don't know if you do that. I do that. Lord, search my heart. Lord, the reason why I did that may not be, it's not right. Help me. Straighten my heart. Help me, Lord, because this heart is evil. We must cry daily before the Lord. We must not appear before people holy, pure, but we must stand before the Lord with a pure heart. Stand before the Lord with a pure heart. He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Then the third thing, he talks about idols. Those who have not done what? Who have not worshipped idols. Who have not bow their knees to idols. When we talk about idols, whatever you give blind admiration or adoration or worship, whatever you worship, whatever you adore secretly or openly or not known by, you know, by anybody, if you are doing it secretly, you adore it, you worship it, you admire it, it takes over you. That is an idol. That is an idol. Whatever takes your allegiance above the Holy God, that is an idol. So, an idol could be money, it could be power or position, it could be beauty and everything that goes with it. We just, you know, spend everything we have on, I want to look good, I want to be, you know, I want to feel good, I want to be part of those who are approved by people, by society, and then we invest our time, our money, everything on it. It becomes an idol. It could be men. It could be people. Maybe our boss, parents. Some people, you know, they make a god or an idol out of their parents or children or friends. Sometimes it could be something we love doing, like hobby or sports. You see some people, you know, the time they're supposed to be in the church is the time they go, you know, and play whatever it is, whatever sport they like. As soon as they say that sport is coming, you know, football is going to be on Sunday, so so time, no church that day. No church, God, you know, forgive me. You know, we'll miss another time. In one word, that is a God. That is a God that is taking over. You cannot let go. You can't let go. God, you have to give way for this one. When I finish, I come back to you. It means that is an idol. An idol. So it must be dealt with. He said, who is he that can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who is he that can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, who has a pure heart, who has not bowed down to an idol. You may not necessarily, you know, have to put down an image and begin to bow down. But whatever has taken your allegiance, whatever has taken your time, whatever has taken your money, whatever you have been able to adore secretly or publicly, whatever you have been able to admire, whether knowingly by people or not, that is a god, an idol, taking the place of God. And then the fourth thing, it talks about one who have not sworn deceitfully. That means no lies. It means that one who is sincere, not sworn deceitfully. And we know what is happening today. Too many deception in the world today. In fact, if you are going to make it in the world we are in today, you must learn how to paint some things, make a red, plain paint it to become bombardy, you know, call it red. Or, you know, make it black and turn it around and say, this is blue. You know, and when people tell, this is black. No, it's blue. You keep hammering, it's blue. Because you believe it's blue, and you want people to believe it's blue because of what you want to gain. There is a lot of lies in the world today. In the business world, a lot of lies. In the social media, a lot of lies. People want to sell their product, a lot of lies. They will not tell you, you know, what is behind this product, but they just tell you, look, it's so great. All they're after is the money. Lies. And unfortunately, that is also found in the body of Christ. Yes. Lies. How many people today who are outside there, you know, I don't want to go into all that, you know, who will, because they are not ready to stand for the truth, because as long as you are standing for the truth, you are preaching the truth, you are teaching the truth, you are in for the truth, you are not going to have any follower. And so they join the bandwagon. Alright, because if that is the way you make it, they follow. My people used to say that he who takes the head of the hoe and he who takes the handle of the hoe, you know where we are going to meet? We are going to meet at the end of the farm. In one word, you do it right, you don't do it right. A day is coming. And Jesus said that day is a day that so many people will be fearful about, because it's a day of judgment. You know what? Judgment of works for believers. Maybe born again, but every work that have been done deceitfully will be burnt up. They will not stand before the Lord. They will not stand the test of time. And of course, liars will not have any part with the Lord. So deception. Deception. Do we say, meet me by 4 o'clock? In our heart, we mean 5 o'clock. And there's so many people, good morning. When they say good morning, better check, because it might be afternoon. Yeah, because it has been part of their system. Deception. Now, the scripture says, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was referring to them, the Pharisees, you have your father the devil, and the will of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. And whenever he lies, he's speaking about himself. It's just his nature, his character. That is what he does. So those who are followers of him, they are also what? Liars. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. No wonder. So, these four things, let's take time to check ourselves. Because we are talking about the glory of God, and we believe God that God is beginning something great in Mount Zion. Let it not be that we are just singing it. Let it not be that, okay, we are just, you know, we pray it down, we, you know, and only few are grasping this thing. Let it be that every one of us we are in, we understand what it means when the glory of God comes. Because God is holy, he will not dwell in a temple that is perverted, that is contaminated. He will not listen to the prayers of the one that is, you know, adulterating the truth. Or not standing for God. They will not take the prayer of one whose hands is filled with blood, whose heart is polluted, who worships idols or tell lies. All these things, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse if we are sincere. If there's any man that we can refer to that deliberately did something, and then when he was confronted, he was broken down. And that is David. He knew what he was doing when he took Bathsheba. And when he discovered that the secret was going to be leaked, he killed Uriah. You know, you use one sin to cover another sin, and that's what we do, all of us. Right? So until God deliver, we come to a time where we say, God, you have to deliver me from this. Enough is enough. So, but when he was confronted, he cried to the Lord. And that is because he's a man after God's own heart. May God make us people after God's own heart. Amen. 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 So, to have the glory of God, we must be sure that by the grace of God, not because we are perfect, but because there is one who is perfect, who we depend upon, who can cleanse us, who can help us, who can sustain us from all these. You know, perverted heart, stained hands, life filled with idol worship, or life that is filled with lies or insincerity. We have one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. So if you are listening to the word of God this morning, you know for sure that you are not giving your life to Jesus. He loves you so much. Let me tell you the secret. And let me tell you the truth. There is no man on earth, that can leave all this by himself. No man has the power to quit telling lies. No man has the power to stop idolizing. No man has the power to stop all that is going on in the heart. No man has the power to stop the evils that we do from time to time with our hands. Because we are helpless. But the only way out is the way that God has given us, gave us an opportunity, gave us his son Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you can only say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I am in this situation. I need your help. I need your grace. I need that which already you have supplied through the death of Jesus and his resurrection. I want to be a child of God. I want to have the glory of God. But I know that all these things will prevent me from having his glory in my life, in my family. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come into your heart. You're going to do that at the end of the message. The second thing we're looking at this morning in the pursuit of God's glory, we look at what it takes to have God's glory. But then let's look at what it takes to retain the glory of God. To have God's glory, yes, but we want to retain it. We don't want to just have the glory of God and then it passes away. That which God has started in this place, we want to continue. That which God has started in your life, we want it to continue. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us see what it takes to have to retain the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. In King James Version, it says, New King James Version says, But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I would like to read in another translation, that is in the New Living Translation. It says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. All of us who have had the veil removed. So some have experienced the removal of the veil. And for those who have experienced the removal of the veil, they can see and reflect the glory of God. And until the veil is removed, there's no possibility of seeing the glory, talk less of retaining the glory. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Hallelujah. Amen. So, who are all of us? As many as have been washed through the blood of Jesus, as many have confessed him, as many as have received forgiveness and they have received the grace of God, we have be given the opportunity and the veil has been removed. But that is just one step. As I was looking into the scripture, I see that it's just one thing for the veil to be removed. Many of us, we have the veil removed, but we are not taking the remaining steps. The veil, number one, has to be removed. And if the veil is removed, then we need to see. The veil is removed so that we have the ability of seeing. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible says, in the book of Isaiah, it says, in sin, they will do what? They will not see. In hearing, they will not understand. Why? Because God has done what? God has shut their heart, their minds, so that they will not repent. Because they have, you know, given themselves over and over to the enemy. And in the New Testament, the scripture says that the God of this world had done what? Had blinded the eyes of who? The unbelievers. So that they will not see, understand, and repent, and be born again. And that is one of our prayers that we have to be prayed from time to time, for the veil to be removed from the eyes of unbelievers. They don't understand what you are saying. No, what we are doing now, they look at us as, hey, these people are crazy. Why is it every day church, every day prayer, singing and everything? What is wrong with you people? You don't have time for leisure. You don't have time to enjoy yourself. You don't have time for any other thing other than church. You know, reading Bible, praying. Just as we look at them now, we look at them. Why are they living this kind of life? They wake up, you know, in their stupor. They sleep after they have been drunk. And then they wake up, you know, tired. And they begin again. And then the trend is just like that. The circle is just like that. They keep on. It's a circle. Whatever it is, some of them, they are in porn. Some of them, they are addicted to one thing or the other. And to them, they are enjoying their life. They look at believers. These ones are crazy. So when you tell them about Jesus, they don't understand. They look at you, you are crazy. You want to come to the kind of life you are living? You don't have life. And that's the way they look at us. They don't understand because there is a veil. Until the veil is broken. May the veil be broken today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So all who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. Veil removed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at what it says about those who have experienced these. Verse 4 of that 2 Corinthians 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That is the unbelievers. But look at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone where? In our hearts. God has shone where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, to those of us who are born again, I mean, who have confessed Jesus, and you know it, and there's a transformation, a change in your heart, the veil has been removed. But then we must go beyond just having the veil removed. We must begin to see. We must begin to deliberately look in order to see, so that we can reflect. If you don't look, you cannot see. Hallelujah. So, because the scripture we read earlier on, we quote it every time, we've had it here from messages that the pastor have been preaching and other ministers. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about we, you know, as we continue to behold, as we continue to look unto Jesus, then we are transformed. Don't forget that word, transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory. So if you remove the word see or looking, then you cannot have the word transform or transformation. If you don't see, you cannot be transformed. So oftentimes, though the veil has been removed, that we have the capability or ability to look at something, look into the word of God in the mirror, Look into it until we understand. Dwell longer time than you have been dwelling before, until something is dropped into your spirit, man. Until that happens, no transformation. You know what's happening? Many believers, we read the scripture casually. We do our devotion casually. Also, that so I just satisfy my spirit today. I've read, I've done my devotion. And sometimes you've forgotten the scripture you read. You are told memorize also something. How many of us do memorize a certain passage? Alright? Because casually we do it. We glance through. We do have enough time to look deep. We need to look deeper than just looking at the surface. Until you look deep into the Word of God longer enough than what you have been doing, you don't have, you know, the Word of God showing and releasing impact into your spirit man. Now, the reason why we are told to chew whatever we are eating is because when you chew your food before you swallow, it's going to give you nourishment. It's easy for your digestive system. Alright? Your digestive system can easily work, and then the nutrients will be released. But instead of chewing the food is supposed to chew, instead of chewing, if you swallow it, then be sure that it's going to take time, and you may not even have all the benefit from that food, or from that, it could be a fruit, it could be anything that you have swallowed without chewing it. Until we chew, we don't have the best of all. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know some of us will chew. Most of us will chew, but some will swallow. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to the Word of God, God expects us not just take it home, just put your mouth and swallow. That's what we do often time. God wants us to chew it. You look at it. What is this one saying? Why is he saying this? And you look at that word, you look at the next reference, you go through where you spend more time looking at that word, at that portion. Something will drop in your spirit, man. You will not leave that portion. You don't leave that place of looking into the word, the mirror of the Word of God, unchanged. So God expects us to change daily. God expects his word, you know, to change us daily. Let me tell you, since our 40 days and all that we went through, I saw some changes in me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some changes in me. Alright? Now, you know, there's the Holy Spirit quickly touched some things in me than before. How about this? This morning I have to say, Jesse, I'm sorry. You know, I have to tell you I'm sorry or something. Before I just, I'm going to say, child, don't worry. Trying to train him. But you see, I wanted to just, but the Holy Spirit will not just, you are teaching him something. You are telling him that when you are wrong, you apologize. So, and I told him, I'm sorry. I should have said it that way. It should have been this way. I become more sensitive. I just see the Holy Spirit working more in my spirit man. I see things I will just brush aside. I see the Spirit of the Lord breaking them closer. I see the Holy Spirit making me to see the scripture better than before. I want you to understand something better than before, not just glancing through. In glancing through, all the nutrients that I'm supposed to receive may not be gotten. Though I would have gone through my ritual. Ritual of reading, ritual of prayer. For us to be in those passages, in that verse, in that word, able to reflect his glory. So to reflect his glory, we must be able to see what the scripture is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. And for us to be able to see, we must look deep enough. We must look close enough. We must be patient enough so that we'll be able to see and be able to reflect. And I have the goal of No, it's not happening because of what I just, what the Holy Spirit is saying. We are not, it's not God's fault. We were somewhere last week and, anyways, it's one of my grandsons. He's just going to be two, all right? He has to eat by himself. So he has this bowl of, was it rice that was given? No, spaghetti that was given to him. And then they will use his fork to pick 20, and only one will get to his mouth. And so the mother went to make sure that the food is not wasted. Let me feed you. The boy said, no, I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. So he has to do it in some way, even though, because he sees everybody doing it. So everyone doing it, read the Bible, seek the face of the Lord in that verse, in that chapter. What is he saying to me? Don't let us just stay on Sunday. We come, we hear the word of God. During the week, we just receive it. What have you gleaned? Because if you have not seen nothing, then you'll not be able to reflect anything. And not having any change or transformation shows that there could be a problem. Number one, it could be that the veil is still present. If you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, but there is no change in my life, then it could be that, number one, the veil is still there. The veil has not been removed. So, one word, I'm not yet a Christian. I'm a Christian by religion. I'm a Christian by going to church. But as long as the veil is there, I may not be able to see what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. So, check it. You know, those of us with our vehicle, once you begin to see, check engine light. What do? That's it, troubleshooting something. It's telling you something's wrong with the vehicle. Something's wrong with the engine. So you want to find out, you take it to the right place and they want to diagnose what is wrong. The check engine light comes up and then they put, you know, they have a way of diagnosing it, and then they find out, oh, you need to change your alternator, or you need to change your catalyst converter, or whatever it is, the vehicle is old. Now, if the check engine light is on and you ignore it, one day you'll be on the highway and then somebody has to bring you home because that vehicle will refuse to work. So, that's check engine light number one. If there's no change, constant transformation, it could be that the veil is still there. Or that the veil has been removed, but no vision, no perception. It could be that there is no sight, no spiritual sight to be able to see or read. Let's read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. I want somebody to read 2 Peter 1. From verse 5 to 9. And then if you have NLT, we're going to take verses 8 and 9 in another translation. Yes, 2 Peter 1 from verse 5 to 9.
Can I read it?
Yes, go ahead.
And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virus and to virtue, knowledge, thank you. And the knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness.
Okay, let's stop there first. It says, as believers, but also for this very reason, given all what? All diligence. Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. There is something we have to be hardened from time to time. You know, our Christian journey, we must have something we had from time to time to be current, to be relevant. Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, serve what? Control. to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, what?
Godliness.
Yes, read on, verse 7.
And their godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you.
Okay, we're going to read that in another translation. It says, hard to your knowledge, hard self-control to your knowledge, hard perseverance to self-control, hard godliness to perseverance, and then hard brotherly kindness or love to godliness. And then had love. Let love top everything. Put love as the, you know, the high sin on top of all these. And then let's read that verses 8 and 9 in under translation. If you have NLT or any other translation, let's read that.
The more you grow like this,
yes,
the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins.
Thank you, Doctor. Now, is this one Peter was writing to believers? But then he's making reference to something here that for he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness. I love the translation there. He says he's blind. The one who lacks all this is blind. Though the veil has been removed, he's born again, but he's not seeing. He's still blind. Why? Because these things ought to be part of your life, my life, but they are not there. And so, if we lack all this, it means we are still blind. And for us not to be blind, we must ask God to touch our spiritual eyes. He said, grow in the knowledge of the word of God. Grow. That is God's goal. For us, we are talking, what are we looking at? We are looking at retaining the glory of God. Not just have the glory. The glory has come. Yeah, praise God. But to retain it in our personal life, in our family, in this church, we must make sure that we follow what we are reading this morning. We follow the word of God. The veil has been removed. We must diligently look into the word. We must search it ourselves. We must make sure that personally I am growing. I don't wait for anybody to do the check engine something for my car. I have to look at my car. If it's having check engine light, I go to the right place. Check yourself. The Bible says, check yourself if you are still in war, if you are still in the faith. That is a way of checking if you are current. Alright? How do you know? Am I growing? All these virtues, are they there? Am I growing in love, in perseverance, in patience, in forgiveness, in the fruit of the Spirit? Are they there or they are no more there? I'm just passing the thing. If they are not there, it's better we cry to the Lord. He's there to help us. He's there to help us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, like I said earlier on, first-hand information. You get it directly from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit is more important than, you know, hearing. What you hear is to supplement what you have received. Amen.
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 How many of us love new things?
Amen.
New house.
Amen.
New cars.
Amen.
New high phones.
Amen.
Oh yeah, everybody. We all love new things, right? Oh yes, we love new things. We love, you know, when the new comes, we throw away the old, right? Because the old becomes, you know, obsolete. We want the new one because the new one is having more features. It's easier to operate in. So I just discovered this point that so many people love the new cars. Even my house. Praise the Lord. When I carry that, the other car that is making noise. Nobody wants to enter into the car with me. Alright, we all love new cars. iPhones. I once used iPhone 5 or 6 and then I discovered that we're now breaking new ones. I said, just wait there. Now today there are, you know, all kinds of iPhone, XS,
yes.
XR, 5, 6 Plus, 11 Pro,
yes, sir.
12 Pro, and all kinds of things. Do you know that God is also expecting something new about us?
Amen.
What new thing are you bringing out this morning?
Yeah.
What new thing is, you know, what is new about you? What is new about your talk? What is new about your actions? What is new about your, you know, your motives? What is new about your attitude? What is new about your loving?
Yes.
Is anything new about it, or is it the old, old story?
Hallelujah.
It's obsolete. God expects us to renew. That's why it talks about renewing our minds.
Yes.
It can only come through what? The word of God. That is how to remain, to retain the glory of God. We must renew our mind in our talk. Everybody will know. In our walk, in our attitude, in our love, in our fruit of the Spirit. Is it easier for me to say I'm sorry now than before? Because before you say, no, I'm not the person. She's guilty. She offended me. Okay, she must be ready to come and say sorry. But if you find yourself now that even when the other person, you know, offended you, did something, you don't have peace of mind until you have said sorry, then God is working something in you. God expects us to grow. Amen.
Amen.
The last one that is, we've had it, but brethren, it's not like when you receive something by yourself. When you had it and you go and discover by yourself, you get more, you are embodied, you are strengthened. Amen. You must become, every one of us, we are, as we read in the scripture, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are the temple today that God dwells in. We are the sanctuary of God. A life of complete dedication to God as long as we live, to worship Him and to serve Him. I discover afresh as I read this scripture from yesterday till this morning, Psalm 114. I want us to read together. We're going to read this responsively. Psalm 114. Read any version you want. Psalm 114. It's just 8 verses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. I'll read the verse and you read the next one. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. Read verse 2. Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. Verse 4. The mountains skid like rams. The little hills like lambs. What heals you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? 6. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O little hills like lambs. Tremble, O health, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Let's read verse 8 together. Who turned the rock into the pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, from the Egyptians and all the powers thereof, verse 2 is the key. Say Judah. We all know that Judah is talking about praise. The meaning of Judah is praise. Judah became his sanctuary. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the sanctuary of God, the tabernacle of God, was praise. Worship. We'll be hearing that here. I said, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. You have just again saying it, just Do it again and again in your car, in your kitchen, anywhere. Connect with God, worship, praise, speak in tongues, connect with heaven. And God is helping me to do that. But I think I've just started my kindergarten. So, and he said that Judah became the sanctuary and Israel his dominion. What is that talking about? That his praise had to go first. Praise went out first. And he's talking about when Judah became the tabernacle of God, the sanctuary of God, and Israel was his dominion, the one, the place of, you know, the entire kingdom of Israel became where he rules, where he reigns, where his throne was. His presence was so mighty among the children of Israel. So he's now saying, look, the sea saw it and fled. The glory of God, the power of God was so real that the Red Sea had to, do what? Part. Jordan turned back. Mountains keep like rams. The little hills like lambs. What is that talking about? The presence of God. The glory of God, when we retain it. We have that glory in our heart, in our life, because we are the temple of the Lord. If we retain the glory of God, mountain will skip. Red Sea will do what? You know what? Because the King of Glory is dwelling in the temple. Alright? What is here will happen. The sea will see. We see the glory of God. God dwelling in you, your family. And they will do what? They will flee. Jordan, whatever stands for Jordan, will turn back. And every mountains of problem, of issues, and I put a lot here, problems, mountains, fears, sicknesses, nightmares, impossibilities, blockages, whatever you call it, they will do what? They will bow. Yes. Sometimes not necessarily you have to pray about them, but because we are just carriers of his glory. Yes. And wherever God is, God is just there to do the, the unusual.
Amen.
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 Let me remind us that we have been told here. Let me remind us, and that's the word of God, that we are in. We are in for extraordinary visitation of God.
Amen.
The favor of God, the blessing of God. You know why? Because God's glory is here.
Amen.
Don't expect anything, little. Don't expect anything lower than that. Don't expect anything less than that. That the glory of God will accomplish. Some people don't have to. Just stay in the holy place. Just make sure what you read earlier on. The requirement of God. Pure heart, holy hands, good motive, no idol, connected with God, and then you maintain the word of God, you stand. And you're going to see. What you are saying is you are bringing the territory of God down to your house. You are bringing the territory of God down to your job, to your business, to your school, to whatever you want, to wherever you dwell. And when the presence of God is there, just as God made Israel his dominion, that's why he said he did not permit anyone to do them wrong, and he rebuked kings for their sake.
Yeah.
Why? Because the King of Glory was going with them. The glory of the Lord was going with them. And if God is going with us, it's not saying you are not going to be tempted. It's not saying you are not going to have trouble. It's not saying that you'll be free of challenges or issues. No. They will come, but they will skip.
Mm-hmm.
They will come, but they will bow. Because
mm-hmm.
there lies the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The children of Israel went through all that, but because God was with them, they went through and there was victory.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you by the word of the Lord that as you retain the glory of God, we've been hearing that here, I didn't know what to preach. I didn't know what to... I was just telling God, I don't know, and I don't want to do anything except to give me the word.
Yes.
Until yesterday night. In fact, after we left the 7 o'clock or the 9 o'clock meeting. And I got home, the Lord began to minister to me. So until this morning. So, it's a confirmation of what you have been hearing. But take it again. God wants you to hear it maybe 1,000 times. Because you are about to experience a breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
You are about to experience the extraordinary.
Hallelujah.
Your mountain is about to skip.
Hallelujah.
Your Jordan is about to turn back.
Yes, Lord.
Your rest is about to do what? It's about to bow.
Yes. Yes.
Because they will see the God, the King of Glory in your life.
Yes.
And everyone that has, you know, gathered together, whatever, you don't have to be afraid of that. Let them go anywhere. You have the greatest of all. You have the creator of the heaven and the earth on your behalf.
Yeah.
You know, he's standing there for you. He's in you. And you are carrying him everywhere.
Mm.
So, all you just be expecting is a time to testify.
Yes.
I see you testify.
Amen.
I see you testify.
Amen.
We are going to read verse 7 together. We are going to read together. You know, it's not only talking about earth. It's talking about your community. Everything around you, every problem around, anything you can think about, say, tremble, oh health.
Yes, sir.
Tremble, America. Tremble, my community. Tremble, everything that surrounds me that looks like, you know, ugly thing, challenging thing, issues. Tremble. You know why? The presence of the Lord.
Yes.
At the presence of the God of Jacob. Who does what? He turns the rock into a pool of water.
Yes.
You know what it means for a rock to melt? Many years ago, before I came over to America, my brother-in-law there was working at Jakuta before they shut it down. At Jakuta is where they melt out. What do you call it? The steel. But then we have the ore. There is mineral. Yes. They bring it in and then they make steel out of all that. I experienced, it took me to a place where they call the oven, where these stones, the ore, will go into the furnace. And the furnace is heated, I think it's over 1,000 degrees. And you, right as you are watching, this way you see all those stones going in. And the other way, you will see them coming out as liquid, flowing like water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the heat so strong. Melted all the stones and they became like liquid. And as they are flowing like that quickly, there's something they're going to do again. They try to form whatever they want to form and then they harden it, becomes a steel. My God doesn't have to make a physical furnace. He says his presence does what? Turn the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. That is the God you are serving. That is the God that is we are representing.
Hallelujah.
That is the glory. His glory is what you are carrying.
Hallelujah.
His glory is
Hallelujah.
What I am carrying. It's what Mount Zion is carrying.
Hallelujah.
So let's be aware of this. We are not ordinary people. You are not ordinary being. You are not just among the, you know, the numbers. You are unique. You have been selected. You have been set aside as carriers of God's glory. See what happened in the Jordan. Those who were carrying the presence of God, they hack. Alright? As soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, what happened? River Jordan parted.
Mm.
You are carrying God's glory. You are carrying God's presence in that place of work, in that business, in that office, in that job, in your family, in your community. Honor him. How? By making sure you live according to the dictates and the requirement, expectation of the King of Kings, so that you will be able to reflect his glory and reflect what heaven looks like here on earth, and people will be drawn to your God, to my God. Hallelujah. Shall we please rise up for prayer? Let's rise up and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to request Yolanda to come later, but let us just pray. If you are here and you are hearing the word of God and you are here to give your life to Christ, you are so blessed today to have heard what you heard. And if you have been hearing from time to time, this is another opportunity to second or to confirm all you have been hearing, that God wants to live in your heart. God wants to make your life, your heart, your soul a place where he sets up his tabernacle. He wants to reside in you. The creator of the heaven and earth wants to live inside of you, so that through you he will manifest his power and his glory to the world. How do you do that? You just tell him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. All the requirements, everything needed for you know, to be someone that will carry the glory of God or to be called a child of God. I don't have it. But I heard that you did it for me. You paid the price, Jesus, so that I can be saved. So Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I want to be my Savior. Forgive me all my sins. Whatever you have done to these people that are preaching or hearing the word, speaking the word of God, not only here, everywhere. Whatever you did to them that changed them. Whatever you did to those who were once murderers, highway robbers, wicked people, Lord, abortionists, all the that they were doing before that, suddenly they stopped doing them. Whatever you did to them that changed their heart. Lord Jesus, here am I. Change me. Forgive me my sins. I'm overburdened by my sins. I can't save myself. I invite you to my heart as my Lord and Savior. Come, save my soul. Forgive me all my sins. Make me your child. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a child of God. I repent of all my wickedness. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Give me the grace to continue to follow you. He will surely hear you. And he will forgive your sins. Because the only prayer he wants to hear from anyone that is not yet born again, that is a sinner, is that Lord have mercy on me. That kind of prayer, God says, I will never reject. God will never go against any prayer from a contrite heart. So God, if you have done that sincerely, you have been accepted. The blood of Jesus is cleansing you right now. The blood of Jesus is making you whole right now. And God is bringing you in as a child. And very soon, you too will be able to stand and declare the mind of God. At the end of this message, after the announcement, I will pray. The hand of the Lord will come upon you. Amen.